We've had three polls out tonight, all showing pretty substantial real gains by Reform, all showing the Labour Party down a bit. Just give us your overall impression of the story they tell.
Yes, Andrew. What we're seeing is the first evidence that Nigel Farage's big decision at the beginning of this week is going to have a substantial impact on this election campaign. All three of these showing increases in Reform from between 4 or 7%. Reform in the averages are now polling not too far away from where UKIP were in 2015. These polls do show Labour down a bit. I'm not really sure there's any evidence that that's directly related. Much of what we know from other sources of data suggests that the Conservatives are the most exposed to this Reform challenge. And given how far the tide has gone out for them generally, this is a big, big problem. And it's particularly a big, big problem because in hundreds of Conservative seats, there were no Brexit Party candidates in 2019, and there will be Reform UK candidates this time. That is thousands of votes off hundreds of Conservative MPs' majorities before they lose a single vote to Labour or the Liberal Democrats. It is, in no uncertain terms, Rishi Sunak's and Isaac Levido's worst nightmare.
And it's very hard not to get overexcited or overimpressed by some of these numbers, because the Redfield and Wilton poll, for instance, which shows the Conservatives on 19 and Labour on 42 and Reform on 17, would actually give the Tory party just 40 seats, 40 seats in the next parliament, behind the Liberal Democrats on 63. So the Conservatives would not even be the official opposition. Now, I kind of find that hard to believe, but maybe I'm just too conventional, too naive.
Well, I mean, it can be argued either way. And as an academic, I can argue it either way with you. On the one hand, a new party like Reform, will it really deliver this level of support at the ballot box? There's still lots of question marks about that. UKIP didn't deliver in the end on their best polling. So let's wait and see. On the other hand, if those numbers are correct, if that's what we see on election night, first past the post is brutal to any party once it falls below a certain threshold. If the Conservatives fall to 20, if they fall to 18, if they fall to 17, they lose everywhere. That's how our system works. You don't get anything for second place under our system. So you can very easily go from 360 seats to 50. Let's not forget what happened to the Canadian Conservatives in 1993, when they went from a majority in their parliament to just 2 seats. That's the kind of thing that can happen under our system if you fall far enough.
Well, I said sensational. I meant sensational. Rob Ford, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, we've been talking about some of the bigger themes emerging tonight, but there's one final thought, because it's all getting very personal. First, Labour attacks Rishi Sunak for being a liar on tax, and then after he takes another £150,000 from Frank Hester, the donor who talked about shooting Diane Abbott, they say the Prime Minister is a man with no integrity. Just as Sunak wants to tie Starmer to Jeremy Corbyn, so Starmer wants to tie Sunak as closely as possible to the shredded reputations of Boris Johnson and Liz Truss. Labour observes the polls and it knows the country doesn't much like the Prime Minister. Now they want voters to actively dislike him. It may not be pretty, but this is an election campaign. And here to give his analysis of it so far is Lord Howard, Michael Howard, former leader of the Conservative Party between 2003 and 2005 and now a Conservative peer. Michael, it's very good to see you in the studio. These are absolutely astonishing polls, are they not?
Well, yes, they are. But look, we've got 4 weeks left for the campaign, and there's a long way to go. And I think one of the key things that has emerged so far relates to the inadequacy of Keir Starmer. Last week, we saw him dallying and dithering over Diane Abbott. He had to be bounced into a decision that he clearly didn't want to take by Angela Rayner. And as Jeremy Hunt rather memorably put it, if you can't deal with Diane Abbott, how do you expect to deal with Vladimir Putin?
It was a good rhetorical point, and yet Starmer remains much more popular in the country than Rishi Sunak. Your party, let's be honest, let's be frank, is in deep trouble in this election campaign so far. You're quite right, 4 weeks to go, everything can change. But at this stage, the possibility of the Conservatives not even being the official opposition is one we have to start to talk about.
I don't think it is what we have to start to talk about, not least because we oughtn't to be talking about polls. We ought to be talking about the issues, the policies, and which of the two candidates, Starmer or Sunak, is best qualified to be our Prime Minister. And I think you saw it in the debate. I think there is no doubt that Rishi Sunak is much better equipped to be our Prime Minister than Keir Starmer is.
James Johnson, who was a pollster who worked for the Conservatives in Downing Street for a while, has been doing some focus groups looking particularly at people who are going to move to Reform, because that seems to be the big problem the Conservatives have at the moment. And these people love Nigel Farage. They see he's positive, vocal, outspoken, refreshing, and they want a Donald Trump for the UK. Is there not a danger that politics on the right is shifting in what you might call a populist way to the disadvantage of the Conservative Party?
Look, there's one message that we have for people who are in that mindset, who are inclined to do that, and that is a very simple message, that a vote for Reform is a vote for Labour and a vote for Keir Starmer. Mm. Now, Keir Starmer stands for the opposite of all the things that those people want to see. And so, I think it's not beyond imagination that we will get that message through to those people, that they will understand this, and they will realise that they must vote Conservative if they don't want Keir Starmer as Prime Minister.
Well, let me read you. James Johnson read out the squeeze message to these voters, and he says it was dismissed by them as a ploy to scare voters, quotes, "I'm voting for whoever I want." And then he said, what about a mega squeeze worry? Surely a vote for Reform makes a massive Labour majority more likely, he said. Answer from the people he was speaking to, and these are the relevant voters. A Tory government under Sunak would be the same as Labour. High immigration, high taxes, same as a Labour landslide. In a sense, you have lost these people already.
No, I don't think that's true at all. There's 4 weeks to go, and as we get closer to the election, minds will be concentrated and people will realise what the real choice is. And as that concentration of minds, as that focus increases, I think there's everything to play for.
You're being admirably focused, but the Tory strategists will be dead scared by some of this. What would be your advice to the Conservative Party in how to handle this particular Reform problem in the next few weeks?
Keep going. Remind people of the story that you've just led your programme with. The taxes that Labour are going to impose on people, I have no idea how that story came out, but it strikes me as being entirely accurate, and I hope Rachel Reeves is going to come clean and tell us about the taxes that she's going to impose upon people. And that's the sort of thing that is going to become clearer and clearer as the election goes on.
Stay focused. I mean, it hasn't been a terribly focused election campaign so far. It didn't start well with the rain and those images of the Prime Minister at the beginning. And we've now got the situation tonight. I'd be very interested in your view. Richard Holden, the Conservative Party chair, has parachuted himself into Billericay to the fury of local Conservative activists. Do you think that was a good thing to do?
Well, this is the first I've heard about that. I wouldn't like to comment on something that I haven't really thought about and didn't know until you mentioned it just a minute ago.
Well, let's look about the campaign generally. As I said, I think most people on both sides would say it did not start very well for the Conservatives. You have been a party leader. You know the kind of pressures that Rishi Sunak is now under. How do you think he most effectively rebalances it himself and comes out fighting?
I think he keeps going. I think he did extremely well in the debate on Tuesday night. There are going to be more debates. People are going to have more opportunities to compare him with Keir Starmer. I don't think Keir Starmer came over at all well during that debate. And I think it's becoming clear that if Keir Starmer became Prime Minister, we would be in a very difficult situation as a country with Angela Rayner calling the shots.
I get the impression that you really think this campaign is going OK and the Conservatives have some chance, at least, of winning it.
I certainly think that with 4 weeks to go, there's everything to play for. Look, we all know that polls, which are snapshots, which can be wrong, can frequently point to the wrong result. Look at what happened in India just this week. So let's not focus on the polls. Let's focus on the issues, on the policies, and on the personalities of the two leaders.
One final thought. Some people I've been talking to on the Conservative side feel that some kind of firecracker is needed in this campaign, and they think of the words Boris and Johnson. Bring him back, get him onto the campaign trail. That's what will take on Farage. That's what will take on Reform. Would you like to see him back?
Well, if Boris wants to campaign, I'd certainly have no objection to his campaigning for us.
But would it help, do you think?
I think it probably might help in some areas. But it's a choice between Sunak and Starmer, and Sunak is showing himself with every day that passes to be much the most qualified to lead our country.